This week on your Old School RuneScape update, we start with Edgar's ruse and then step forward in time to Zaya's modern quests, including Getting Ahead and Garden of Death. We also touch on Perilous Moon's changes, the most recent poll, and some fancier boots. This is the Old School RuneScape Update, Episode 1, recorded Saturday, November 4th, 2023. Ruses, Heads, and Gardens. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. This week, Sirion and I are back in terms of what we hope will be a long, protracted run through leagues, at least, right? Of course, thank you to everybody who listened to the pilot episode last week. I heard from a few of you that this is exactly what you wanted. It scratched the itch in terms of addressing the old school side. And just being that dose of RSBNB update that people love to hear and whatnot. But of course, if you're joining us for the first time, my name is Shane12088. I've been playing RuneScape since the classic era. I only started old school up earlier this year, but as the podcast and as the questing says, having a hell of a time doing it. And Sirion is here as well. You've been playing for a similar amount of time, though maybe not as long as me.
I definitely started in the classic era. I think the biggest thing for me that makes a difference is that I didn't play for like a period of 5 or 6 years in the middle. I think that's the biggest gap. But...
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we get to experience that whenever we log on to OS, and it's something that is pretty much a yin and yang experience in terms of old school RuneScape and what we have in the modern era, but more on that in just a moment. I invite you guys to check out the show notes at update.show/OS. We also have our friends chat, Bits Bytes, and our community Discord at update.show/Discord. And as things go here on the podcast, we like to start off with what we've been doing in RuneScape. So, Sirion, what you been up to this week?
Oof. I've been working on my construction. I wanted to get construction out. It's hard to say that I'm enjoying it. I definitely think the construction contracts are done better in old school. I know it's dangerous comparing the two games.
No, but like, I think if we're comparing it on this show and we say old school does something better, I think that's an okay thing to say here.
Yeah, no, I think the different games do things differently, and I think that's fair. But like the construction contracts, I enjoy them. They're just the right level of sort of having to pay attention. Like it's pretty continuous clicking, but it's not quite the same as continuously building and destroying the table,
giving yourself carpal tunnel or something, and
exactly.
Working with the butlers
Exactly. So I've been doing that. Got 72 construction, which is enough to boost up to 75, which unlocks a whole bunch of good stuff, like the Gilded Altar. But then I realized there's a bunch of stuff at level 77 I want, and I realized how expensive building your POH is. So I've since moved over to farming and doing my herb runs multiple times per day, trying to earn money so I can build my house.
We love that. We love that.
Yeah, I'll be doing some questing, but I think you'll cover that for both of us. So
yeah, and you know when we look at in general the farming and whatnot, and in particular the construction, I was sitting there, and you told me you were going for this, and I'm like, why are you already level 70 closing in on 77 construction? It just you know utterly blew me away that you had that. You had that kind of money and whatnot, and you know that goes into the skill that we're really starting to like with this game, farming and whatnot. But
starting to like, Shane, come on.
Well, I mean, I came into this knowing I would like the farming, and you've eclipsed me on that, and you have also, you know, been championing it as much. And I also just want to say at this point in time on the show that this is not the farming Fanboy podcast, because we did that a lot last week, and we're going to do that this week in one of the quests that we talk about, but it's not going to be that way every week. I just want everybody to know about that. But, you know, as for me, on the farming side, I finally got the bottomless bucket in terms of just fundraising for it, because it's something I wanted to get for a while, but I had just been putting money into other things, other skills training, and I just really thought, yeah, you know, I can just get by with the regular bucket. But then came the time when realized I'd be making ultra compost, and oh, the bucket doubles the charges. Okay, it's finally time to, you know, just save for that and go for that. So that
I,
was
I just love I love the fun. Inventory management you solve with it as well. Like, I just,
yeah,
I hate having like six buckets in the inventory taking up space and having to drop the empty the single bucket just solves that.
Yeah, it does. And you know, the ultra compost flow also works very nice with that too, with the volcanic ash and then just super compost from something as simple as watermelons or pineapples, which is a relatively easy thing to do, of course. But you know, farming aside, since this is not just the farming podcast, I completed one of the goals that I had set out for myself this week, and that's base level 30s. And for people unaware, that's how I train RuneScape at the low to mid levels. As I say, okay, first we're going for base 10s, base 20s, base 30s. And this week, of course, that meant getting level 30 construction, which of course you do with mahogany homes and the wonderful birdhouses for Hunter, which, you know, just leaves the two redheaded stepchilds of Slayer and RuneCrafting below level 30 right now, which are going to be left
RuneCraft.
RuneCrafting, RuneCraft, whatever, same thing, which is going to just be left to Tears of Gothics, dare I say, since I'm not a fan of Slayer. Also did Fletching, but I don't really have much to write home about with that, because, I mean, it's Fletching. You make bow and you elk when you have that. But of course, the big story of the week is our questing adventure that continues, and that's what started us with old school RuneScape earlier this year. And we just had a series of whiplash here before the show, because we did Edgar's Ruse as a quest.
Yes, we did.
You don't get any more fetch quests than that. And I remember when World of Warcraft was out and RuneScape was out, everybody said World of Warcraft had fetch quests and RuneScape had the quests. But going back in time and playing Edgar's Ruse today is the epitome of a fetch quest.
Yeah, I did not enjoy it. I did really not enjoy it. And I was lucky enough that I unlocked a bunch of agility shortcuts. Like, you had to go the long way around multiple times.
Yeah.
No, it's not a good quest. Like, in my memory, it was like, oh, you just do a few things around that area and solve it. But no, you go back.
We must have had a different perception of time back then.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and you know, the reason we, of course, do Edgar's Ruse is because that unlocks the Trollheim Teleport, which also, that quest unlocks My Arm's Big Adventure, which, of course, is the farming patch. And, you know, disease-free Trollheim patch. Who can complain about that? That will be farming patch number 6 for me. Herb patch number 6, rather. So,
yeah, it would be 7 for me, but I need a good way to getting there, because, yeah, 61 magic for that spell.
Yeah,
you can't put it in the POH, we found out, which is really annoying.
Yeah, you got to use the redirection scrolls and make tablets if you want to, you know, do it without using the runes and magic requirement on that. But still, interesting way around that nonetheless. But we do also head far west after that quest, and you know, it was perfect. Zaya delivers again on questing.
Yeah, it does.
We did getting ahead, which, you know, based on the name of the quest, you can kind of see the pun in it.
yeah.
Which, I mean, starts off as a regular go kill this monster in this cave, and then, Gordon wants a trophy from said monster. I'm sorry, Gordon. The said monster did not drop ahead. And of course, I'm not going to
have a hat.
I'm sure people are probably aware of that, or maybe not. But the quest culminates in you making a less than perfect head to the point where you manage to convince Gordon and his family that this is indeed the head from that monster. But no, it's just something that you fashion together. Very stereotypical RuneScape-y quest. I feel like it's the kind of quest that people play RuneScape for. I think that's the best way of putting it.
Yeah, like the thing is, it's also a fetch quest, right? Like, let's
but it
be
doesn't
honest,
feel
it's
like
also
it.
A fetch quest. But it doesn't feel like
because
it because
everything
it's
you need
humor.
Yeah, and everything you need is in one specific area for it too. So that helps.
Exactly. Like, you don't have to go back and forth a lot. It's not annoying. And all of that just makes it work so much better. Like, Idgar's Views also has some humorous like dialogue, right? But at that point, you're like, I walked up this mountain 50 times. Just let the quest be over, please. And this was like, no. Just, we did it in under half an hour, I think, like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and it was just so much more refreshing too, you know, environment-wise and whatnot, compared to the dusty Trollheim mountains and whatnot.
I would love for the entire world to be scattered with little adventures like that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they can actually do that. I think the old school team can actually do that when it comes time to writing quests, because, you know, it took so long for them to get their first native quest into old school, and they've been slowly increasing the amount that they put in, and I think that's nothing but a good thing, if I'm being 100% honest with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be coming back to another quest from our questing adventures a little bit later in the podcast. But before we do that, we want to discuss some of the updates of the week. And, you know, this first one was a little bit cryptic. Changes to the Varlamor set of rewards, which, you know, on the surface might look bad, but maybe not.
Yeah, you have to go find these, right? Like, yeah. Still getting used to sort of how they update existing blog posts, which probably for the better, let's be honest. No, when I read these, I was a little bit worried. Like, I kind of like the idea of what they're doing. So when I talk about Varlamor changes, in particular the changes to Perilous Moons, I really quite like them. And then they said, oh, we're raising the recommended level from 65 to 75. And also, we're dropping the defense requirement from level 70 to level 50. I'm like, so now we're going to fight harder bosses for worse armor? I think this might have been my RS3 sort of stance kicking in, because in that game, the armor, how good armor is tied to its level requirement, right? Like, those are interconnected. And I actually looked into the stats blocks, which I don't often do because I don't know what these numbers mean most of the time, and compared them to some other stats. And I, for example, I looked at the, it's called the Blood Rager set, compared it to like some Varus equipment. I was like, oh, you know, this is not that far off, right? It's actually, and it still requires 75 strength and Frostmoon 75 magic and Eclipse 75 ranged, and they're all still very good pieces of armor. It's just you don't need level 70 defense anymore. I don't know if they changed the stats.
It's hard to see what the original was without having a
because they updated the existing images. So yeah. I don't know what the original stats were.
You know what we need to do? We need to start keeping archive copies of these news posts like I do with the RS3 ones.
Perhaps. But yeah, overall, it seems fine. They also changed the recommended level. They didn't change the boss difficulty. They changed the recommended level. So, you know, fair enough. I guess you can still do it at level 65.
Yeah. And I think...
So these changes...
Go ahead.
I was worried about them, but now that I look at them again, I'm like, you know what? I think we actually got better stuff instead of worse. So I'm happy. I think they're good.
Yeah. And the interesting bit about this is that, like you say, on the surface, I think it looks like these changes might be bad, but when it comes down to it and you look into the actual numbers of the various, you know, defensive bonuses that go for this, you have a set of armor that's effectively doing well in a couple of areas but not so well in another one at a lower level. And the ones that are doing well, what you mentioned is that they're comparing it to Barrow's level. And that's a niche that so far, to my knowledge, does not yet exist at this tier. And I think that that's a better thing to do than just having everything that's, you know, level 50 defense, 60 defense, 70 defense, having the same numbers across the board with a different style modifier. This lets you kind of, in a way, build specialized sets of armor.
Exactly. I think it's amazing. I love it. I would hope to see, like, the set effects, of course, are very unique as well. Right, they're really trying to do something. Like, even with Barrows, if you think about it, they're like six sets. They all have their uses. Like, some of them are more useful than others, sure, but they all have their niches.
Yeah, this, Guthan, Starrock,
it's right in the line. It's great. Love it. So, yeah, very much looking forward to it. I think the Bladed Moon changes are interesting. They sort of changed them again since. So they wanted to change it so they only apply to when you have a main hand weapon called with a slash style. But that, I mean, when reading it already felt a little bit weird, right? Like, because it's like, oh, because we have this really good main hand weapon, we don't want it to work with.
Right.
And it looks like if you look at the polls near post, they realize that and they're now looking at that main hand weapon instead and try and see if the meta is broken instead of trying to fix an item against a broken meta. And I think that's good. That shows really good insight by both the community discussing this and bringing this up, as well as the mods, as recognizing that, you know, you shouldn't try and fix existing broken items by introducing new items that are sort of adjusted to deal with a broken item, right? Like, that only amplifies the problem, and it becomes even harder to fix it. So I'm really glad that they're taking the time to be willing to take a step back.
Yeah.
Speaking of polls, actually.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing on that, in that that's a dangerous trap to go down, because that can also lead to power creep that you might not need. Another one of my games, Star Trek Online, does that. So it's good that old school is having the sense to do that and bringing that transparency forward. Yeah. And just having those discussions, I think, is good.
Exactly. And this way they're not pulling a broken item. And I think I like also the transparency around it, right? Like, they're literally just saying, you know, we can't pull this right now.
Yeah, good.
Because of these reasons. And I think if you talk to your players in such a transparent and open way, players will start thinking with you instead of against you, right, on this.
And that's the number, and I don't want to turn this into a marketing or philosophy or persuasion discussion, but that's the number one way that you bring people along with you, is you meet and match them, and then you take them with you.
Yeah.
So.
Because I think if you talk to people like this, right, and you explain these problems to them, you will almost be coaching them to recognize these problems themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, very few people can do that. And, you know, if this is what they're doing on the game side, that's nothing but good. But you mentioned the polls.
Yes. You had some you were very interested in.
Yeah, yeah. So do you want to go through each of these, or do you just want to kind of mention that they're here and we can talk about the ones that stand out to us, or that we...
Let's just talk about the ones that stand out to us.
All right. I want to start with the second question then, because this is the chance to bring into game a new defense draining ranged weapon, and the special attack will reduce the target's defense by 10% of their magic level. And I think that this is interesting on so many levels. First, because obviously it's a ranged weapon that's level 75 ranged. It's got a good ranged attack bonus on it, but it's actually got a special attack that's playing to the combat triangle, reducing target's defense. But it's not just doing it by a flat level or some random number that rolls. It's based on the target's magic level, which, again, kind of goes back to our previous discussion of, you know, kind of having one foot in one door compared to the other one, where those armor sets had two very good bonuses, whereas this is, you know, just creating a combination, I think, that looks really unique, at least to me, from where I am, you know, leveling up my ranged at some point and seeing this as a potential option I have in the future. So This was the first one that stood out to me, and this definite yes for me.
I just love the fact also that they're really emphasizing the combat triangle here and just making sure they don't forget it, right? Like, range is good against magic. That's
the rules.
That's how the universe works, right?
Yeah. And this plays into that. So, And you know, there's other things that happen with it too, and it's going to be a good weapon along the board. They're also looking at adding other best in slot ranged items. What poll questions stood out to you that you like to go to?
I think we need to talk about the Sunfire Fanatic armor, right? Like the prayer and ranged combination stuff.
Which is another weird combination, but
it is an interesting combination. But I find it interesting as well, right? Like the proposal they have is basically literally better proselyte. It's weird that it comes from such a different place, right? And I get that. And basically they're asking, should we replace it with a ranged and prayer combination armor? What's the main... I'm just checking what the exact difference is.
In terms of the numbers?
This is a ranged... Oh, okay, it adds... Right, so it adds a ranged offensive bonus.
Yeah.
As well as a prayer bonus. Okay, yeah, that's...
And you know, you kind of need that too, because it's that prayer bonus that prevents your prayer from draining as fast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can kind of combine that in with the other combat styles. And I mean, when you look at it, proselyte was one way to do it, but having this kind of combined version with range also makes things super interesting on it. Yeah. So, I mean, question three, they ask, would you be comfortable with the addition of a new best-in-slot prayer version of the Sunfire Fanatic armor? Question four, would you be comfortable with the addition of a prayer and ranged focused version of the Sunfire Fanatic armor? And then with number five, they ask, which of the two approaches would you prefer? Either the best in slot prayer option, better than proselyte, which was the initial way, or the prayer and ranged focused approach. And I think you're going to have, I don't know which way the poll is going to go on this one. Which way would you go on that?
I find it difficult. Like, I don't want to limit a specific type of armor to a specific quest series. Like, I get the thematic sense of it, but we don't know when a Temple Knight series is ever going to be picked up again, and should we really boycott this type of armor for the rest of the game? That being said, I love the ranged and prayer combination. Like, I think that's a niche that doesn't exist yet, at least not at this sort of level, right?
I honestly think the ranged and prayer option is the more powerful way to go.
Yeah, I think so too. It puts even crystal armor to shame, right? Which is like, I like it because it is a different niche. I don't think it will be used a lot. Like, using prayer armor is a little bit of a niche, but
And just to be clear here, we do sacrifice a few prayer bonus armor stats to go to add the range to it. So it's still not going to be the best in slot prayer, but you do get that combination with the range.
But the original design is much more melee focused as well. If you look at it, you actually get negative offensive bonus to magic and ranged, negative against magic. You get some ranged events, but.
And you know, based on that and just based on how I feel about, you know, the combat styles I prefer, I think I'd probably go with the ranged option myself here.
Yeah.
So, okay. The other question that stood out to me comes to runes. Should Sunfire runes be added? A fire rune upgraded with Sunfire dust that improves the consistency of fire spells.
Yes. Yeah. It's the thing is, and I think many people are going to make the same mistake as I do, right? Like, if you look, glance over this is neat. I was going to vote for this anyway. And then you pointed out, like, oh, this question is so interesting to me. And I looked at it again. I'm like, this is an amazing new reward space, right?
Yeah.
I would love for like all the runes to have interesting
and not only just on their own, but just ways to kind of, you know, lean into rune crafting and have them be special in a way, right?
Exactly. And it feels interesting, and now you have choices, right? Besides just your equipment.
Like,
and it's a little bit like you have a choice in ammunition.
Yeah, let me just read the tooltip here of what this is going to be. Sunfire runes would provide fire spells with a 10% minimum hit, assuming that sunfire runes were consumed to cast the spell. Additionally, you'll be able to use sunfire runes with burnt pages to make searing pages, giving the Tomb of Fire a 50% damage boost and a 10% minimum hit. So yes. It's leaning into other items as well there.
Yeah. And this is such a good thing because it will be consumed. It will keep its value really well, right? Like, this is one of those items that won't really... Like, a lot of uniques, like, over time, they get sort of the people get them, right? They don't really get sunk into the economy. And they get power crapped. This is something that will probably need a continuous supply.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's what they're saying here, right? Like, they want there to be a consistent loot table that doesn't just chuck GP at you. And I think this is, it fits so well. This is one of these solutions that if you see it, you're like, why did nobody think of this before? And to me, that shows the ingenuity behind this solution.
The ingenuity of humans, you could say. Sorry, I won't say that.
Josh.
But yeah, definitely my favorite poll question there. As they say, get out and vote. We also do have an updated item this week. The fancier boots. You went to go get yours. I have not gone to get mine yet. How do we get these and what are they for?
I mean, it's a fairly small update. Basically, I think you can, if I remember correctly, you can only get them
if
you have a Jagex account.
Yeah.
And they're basically combined fighting boots and fantasy boots. I like them. I like the colorful ones. I like the spike ones. Now I have spiky colorful ones. So, you know, they are indeed fancier boots. Can't wait for fanciest boots in 5 years or so.
Woo! Yeah. And, you know, this is all in concert with Cybersecurity Month and the move to Jagex accounts. And, you know, I'll just say at this point, if you're not on one, you should probably consider getting onto Jagex accounts and just make sure that you read the fine print on the Jagex account side, specifically when it comes to authenticators and backup codes, because that's something people have gotten a bit by before. And I'm not sure what the uptake of Jagex accounts would be on this, but I know it's something that I have moved over and I've talked to all of our people and told them to move over to as well, just to, you know, have the get away from the 2005 era of cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
We can play the 2007 era of RuneScape, but we don't want to play the 2007 era of cybersecurity.
Absolutely not. I saw there was some controversy around, oh, you can now get XP lamps for having a Jagex account and it's locked by it. Yeah. Also, do you know how much XP you're going to get out of this lamp? Like, it's a genie lamp. It's... Yeah.
It's just a drop in the bucket compared to things. But I did mention we had other quests on the docket. And this one goes back to one that we did earlier in our questing series. And this is something that was one of the main reasons I actually wanted to start up this old school edition of the podcast.
Yes.
For. Mm-hmm. And that's the Garden of Death quest that again takes place on Zaya. And the interesting thing about this quest, there is no dialogue in this quest to other NPCs. You're on a journey of discovery trying to figure out just what the heck happened in this area. It's you and the environment. And I don't think you get any more puzzle-centric than that. And I say puzzle-centric. It's not like Elemental Workshop puzzle. I'll say it's a different level of puzzle. Is that how you'd describe it, thinking back to it?
Yeah, like it really feels like one of these. I mean, it's one of these quests that invites you to put the quest guides you're using away and really do it yourself. Like, I think if you use a quest guide for this quest,
You'd be down in 5 minutes.
You're gonna hate it,
Yeah.
right? It's gonna be a chore. But
I think we spent like 90 minutes to 2 hours just going through this and experiencing it.
I'm not bored for a second. Like, I got energy, like this one quest in RS3 that does the same, which is the needle skips. So
Yeah.
if you are only an old school player and you want to try something in RS3 that is very much like it by that particular quest, it has no requirements as far as I can tell. It's a standalone quest.
Yeah.
That's the energy I got. And yeah, I don't know how to describe it. It's sort of one big puzzle, indeed.
It just felt like a journey of discovery, you know? Like you said here, go to this mysterious place and figure out what's going on.
Yeah. I think what made it work really well is that, you know, if you look at something like Elemental Workshop, right, it has a single solution and you just need to figure out the steps. And here, it's much less like that, right? Like, there's multiple ways to get to the same solution. Like, you're shown an image and you need to figure out the word that, like, the text, what the words mean. And there's multiple, like, all of the words are hinted in different ways. Like, I don't think there's a unique way to get a single word,
No.
which also means you can sometimes find slightly alternative words, which makes the sentence make more sense.
And there's also
And that
ways
makes.
to do the quest without finding all the words, too.
Exactly. You don't need to. I think we ended up sitting there trying to get all the final words in the end.
Yeah, because I think that's some kind of
Completionist much.
requirement. Yeah, but. And.
No, and it made me feel much more. It made me feel smart, which is really stupid in a sense. But like finding out the exact steps in like Elemental Workshop or a different quest like that, right? Where you have to. Like, I think one of the Temple Knights quests has one of these rooms, right? Where you need to put
Yeah.
together chemicals in the right
Yeah.
order, and it's like 10 different items you need to combine in
But that's a
particular
lot
ways.
smaller scale than this too, because this is taking place over multiple dungeons
Sure.
on half a continent, so.
But I didn't feel smart figuring it out
Right.
because that's trial and error, right? That's just trying things out until it fits. That's the equivalent of blocks of certain shapes and holes of certain
Yes.
shapes.
Like trying to fit the round shape into the square peg, right?
Yeah, this feels more like you have a bunch of like tetrominoes or like pieces you need to fit together in a certain shape, right? You don't know, or it does give you hints along the way, but you're really building towards a bigger solution.
Yeah, and that's what I got from this. And you know, I would say to somebody who had not played old school before, you know, if I was going to recommend them a quest with a minimal requirement, 20 farming, which is minimal, you know, do this quest. And I'd say you're going to be immersed in the environment of this game. And they're going to see this and say, you know, this is 2007 old school RuneScape. How am I going to be immersed in this environment? But lo and
Yes.
behold, that happens in this quest.
Yeah. And the environment work is, and this is going to sound really funny from someone like coming from RS3, but the environment work on this quest was amazing. The music was good, right? Like the entire tone setting and the world building had me fully engrossed. Like I wanted to know what was up. I wanted to, like, I love the little mystery that they put in there that someone is just ahead of you. And then starts talking to you, right?
Yeah.
Like,
And it's like, is
my
something
mouth.
bad going to happen? Is something going to jump out of the wall? And are we going to need to go combat on this? But no, it's just a puzzle throughout the entire thing. And it's uncovering that mystery and building a set of words with a language to decode it, I think, is what made it so rewarding. And
Yeah.
the fact that it wasn't, you know, a hack and slash combat quest, which I mean, those are fine in small doses. It's not a quest that was, you know, filled with dialogue from tons and tons of NPCs. That's again fine in most cases, but this was just the environment, And, you know, I actually had to go through this, and I went through the quest list, and I said, is there anything else that exists like this in Old School? No. Is there anything that exists like this in RS3? No. And
yes,
the very fact that it's
needle
taking
skips.
That step forward and moving it. No, I think the needle skips is a bit different, because that's kind of still dictionary-based. It's not. I don't think needle skips was that much environment-based.
For me, I was immersed. Yeah, well, yeah, it's okay. Okay. I feel it right touching on the same energy.
Okay, that's fair. That's good. That's a good middle point to land on. And I think the thing that I was most pleased with at the end of this quest wasn't the fact that, you know, we got a nice 10,000 XP of farming. It's that we were able to fully transcribe this note, and we learn about the Ascended of Arceus talking about their soul transferent, and then again, knowledge about the old ones, soul transference. And the guy says, I will only consider you one of two things. Either you are my ally or my enemy. Only time will tell until we cross paths again. Cassandre Shaw.
Yeah.
And that leaves the door open to more in the future on this, which I'd like.
It's so amazing how a game can make you feel that. And one of the things I have done actual scientific research on, this sounds so pretentious, but it's true, is how games can amplify the emotional engagement you have with a game if their mechanics mirror the thing that they're telling you, right? Show, don't tell, in a sense.
So is that like, right? Like, so rather than, you know, using visuals and whatnot to mirror an emotional state, it would make it with the mechanics of the game then. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's more like in this particular case, you are solving the puzzle. Not your character is solving the puzzle, you are solving the puzzle, right? Whereas in a lot of cases, like in a lot of feats of skill in the game, it's your character doing it, right? Your character can farm, your character can do magic, your character can do handstands and backflips, right, with high agility level. It's not you. This quest is you and you alone, in a sense. It's your skill. You're the one solving this mystery. So it makes it much more easier for this to be a role-playing game, right?
Right.
The mechanics mirror exactly what your character is feeling and doing in the moment.
Okay.
They're trying to unravel a mystery. And that makes it able to connect on two different levels, right?
And that by reward from doing that, not only for your character, but for yourself, and uncovering something tangible, I think, when you unpack it all, is what makes the quest.
Exactly. For me... this felt very D&D-like, in almost.
Oh, interesting. Like, okay.
I felt like I had a lot of agency in this quest.
Which is interesting to hear you say, because when you're building an MMO, you have to, in many cases, create the illusion of choice, mm-hmm. winding up back at, you know, the central spot. And if you're able to pull that off in a quest that's going to take, you know, 30, 45 minutes to do, longer if you, you know, take your time through it, and you, in effect, make it so that you can go any path to get to that end point, I see what you mean now about the agency on this one in particular. And maybe that's why I liked it so much. I don't know if I put my finger on that at the start, but I thought I was just engrossed in the environment. But I think you've also uncovered something new here with that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put a link in there as well in the show notes. It's a game that I haven't played, I'm going to be very honest, but I saw this a few weeks ago as a recommendation. It's called Chance of Sennar, and it's basically this quest in game form. You need to sort of uncover a language. Like, there's a bunch of different symbols, they all mean words. You need to combine them to move forward. it's very much this skill, but like fully blown into a game. I gave the Steam link, but I think it's on like all consoles as well. So that's a fun little indie game if you want to try out more like that.
Yeah, that's neat. That's neat. I know I'm personally waiting for the sequel of this quest, should it ever have the option to exist.
Yeah, no, I mean, and this to me cemented Zaya as a concept.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
But also, like, if you look, I mean, both Getting Ahead and Chance of Sinar, and I think, oh, sorry, not Chance of Sinar, Garden of Death. Oh my god. Garden of Death, and we had one of the faction quests on Zaya as well, I think. I forgot the name. The Piscarilius one.
Is that the one dealing with the almost assassination?
Exactly. And none of them have disappointed so far, and I think, I mean, I can't wait for Valamore and all the lore and, attached to it. I just love the themes.
And we get to bring things full circle here with where we started with Edgar's Ruse earlier in the podcast and showing the difference in the RuneScape team between when Edgar's Ruse was made and with these modern quests that are getting put into Zaya and all sorts of new areas in old school RuneScape. And
Edgar's Ruse was not the reason we decided to go for Quest Cape in old school.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I don't actually remember the reason.
I mean, I wanted to explore these new quest lines, right? Like Dragon Slayer 2 and Monkey Madness 2. Those are the things that I sort of...
Oh, right. And I wanted Song of the Elves after our RuneFest discussion
exactly.
there.
But I am so pleased that we found that... I mean, maybe we'll be disappointed by Desert Treasure 2 and Dragon Slayer 2 and all that.
We'll be disappointed when we die multiple times.
But I love the little gems that we find along the way. And this is what I've been missing from RuneScape. Like, for me, it has reinvigorated. Like, I was a quester, and I sort of stopped being a quester for a long time. And I think it had to do with the style of quests that RS3 was releasing. Like, that was just not working for me. And this works. Right? It just works. Give me more of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know what the breakdown of the old school community is yet between PVMers, skillers, questers, completionists, cluers, and the usual categories. But I feel like with the quest being in this caliber, if most of them are able to be delivered to that, that speaks volumes for, you know, just making the things be accessible. Because I also feel like a lot of the quests that we've done, the newer old school ones, mm-hmm. Have been very accessible too.
Yep.
Specifically the Zaya ones, of course. So,
mm-hmm.
And that brings it all back. We started with Edgar's Ruse, Yin and Yang. I mean, that's kind of, we needed a palate cleanser after that. And Getting Ahead definitely did that. And that move from Getting Ahead and looking at Garden of Death here, and just all the changes we talked about this week really encapsulate what's driving the old school update podcast. Because at this time, you can tell that we have really enjoyed what we did this week. In any case, we'll be here each and every week through Leagues. If you want the show delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. You can find our episodes at update.show/OS, and each episode just has a subscribe link to wherever you get your podcasts, all the podcast listeners out there, Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify. Just visit update.show/OS and click there. And we're putting them on YouTube as well. It's just a audio playback of the podcast if you prefer to listen on YouTube or YouTube Music, so all that's there too. But nonetheless, Sirion and I will be back next week for another edition of Old School Update. Until then, take care, everyone. See you then.
See ya. Bye-bye.